How's it going? It's Dieter and Hutch, and we're talking about the Senior Bowl. Feels like we're almost a free agency, Jake. I mean, this offseason, it was once so long, and now it's happening so fast, buddy. What'd you take away from Mobile, Alabama and the Senior Bowl, my friend?
It's always fun. Once we got over the people leading the shrine and the Senior Bowl beefing, mostly just the Senior Bowl guy, for those of you who don't know, just being weird for no reason. Once you get past that, it's great because you get a lot of talent. You get a lot of what's really cool, especially, is like the small school guys.
Yeah. Both the Shrine and Senior Bowl, all the credit in the world. They do a great job of identifying small school guys to bring in and giving them a chance against the highest levels of competition. And that's something that the teams need, but that cannot be an easy job. It just cannot. No, you're finding guys from Lindenwood and Alabama A&M and, Middlebury. Like, they're finding rando schools. That's good scouting. That's just good scouting. So credit to both the All-Star games.
Yeah, credit to both of them. I genuinely think it's a really crucial asset, mainly for those guys, but also for before the combine, for a lot of guys to understand like how teams interview, what the process is for teams to get like a first look. And then you get like your coaches, like the Niners had a few coaches. I think there's Andrew Hayes Stoker, who's like their assistant, I want to say, special teams coach, or maybe works wide receivers. He was there. KJ Wright was there working with a lot of like the edge rushers. So that's valuable. I think to be hands-on and get a sense of like what those guys are like behind the scenes, that helps. Totally. You collect data however you can, and I think we got some interesting guys to look at.
The Senior Bowl in particular, the Niners give a lot of credit. Credit's maybe not the right word, but they put a lot of value in their experience coaching the Senior Bowl. What was it, 2018?
Yeah, it was 20
leading. Yeah, so that was for the 2018 draft.
Yeah.
So they believe that's
how they got
the foundational piece. That's right. So there's a lot of value to be had here. And yeah, it's getting more and more commercialized, much like the combine. I don't have a problem with that. That's more access for the fans, more opportunities for people to get in on this stuff. And listen, it gives us more opportunity to talk about some of these guys who we're really excited to talk about. We both have five standouts from the Senior Bowl, and I think we both had lists that were 25 guys long.
Yeah.
So it's not to be exclusionary, but it gives us an opportunity. Maybe there's some touch points here that fans can get in, that we're not just coming in, naming some dudes and getting the hell out of the way, that because you were able to watch the Senior Bowl, you were able to watch some practices.
Yep.
You're able to kind of know where we're going from. And
yeah. And again, some of the one-on-ones, it's like one-on-ones are inevitably just going to be rough for offensive linemen. Like
totally.
when you're on an island, you don't have any help, and it's not really like
it's not
spacing,
really pass blocking. It's not
the
really
spacing
run blocking.
Doesn't make sense, right? Because you're not. It's not. There's no real quarterback. It doesn't make sense. And then the same thing with DBs. Like the wide receiver can go anywhere,
mm-hmm.
and you can't really use the field or anyone else to your advantage. So it's really tough on the defenders in those situations. But what you see is guys who at least are able to stay in hip pockets as DBs, mm-hmm. and offensive linemen who just don't get absolutely torched. You know, if you can anchor and hold on for a second, that's pretty impressive.
If you're able to win, as you noted, if you're able to win as a DB or an offensive lineman in these one-on-ones, you got something going for you. And I think that's where we're going to start. Let's go with the DBs. I had a lot of offensive linemen. I had a lot of DBs on my list. I'm really excited about Maxwell Harrison from Kentucky. Now, this is not some diamond in the rough here. This is a guy who has plenty of buzz about him. He's not a first-round player, we'll be clear about that. But if we're viewing this from a San Francisco 49ers perspective, and we're trying to be holistic about this, but ultimately we know where our bread is buttered. We know where the real sickos lie. If we're talking about the 49ers, we're talking about Robert Saleh, defensive coordinator, coming back. Even if he is more multiple than he might have been when he first had the job, he is still a guy who values zone coverage. He still wants corners who can take away the outside of the field, who can just blanket that side. Cover three, cover four, that's fine. Those guys on the outside are covering the same way either time. And I think Max Harrison is a guy who could be an elite zone corner in this league. He has the length. He's not the most stout guy, to be fair, but he's a hell of a reactor. That's what stood out to me when I watched him. Not always in the perfect position. Not this clinician that you watch with some guys where he just win. Everything he does is exactly on point. But he's got a nose for the football. He has great ball skills, and he's just a great reactor. He's long. He's crazy long. I think he's willing. I constantly say this. It's pretty cringe. He's long. I think he's willing to get the friction on in the sense of he's willing to come up and fight in the run game. Sorry.
Those Kentucky corners, dude. I mean, you had Andrew Phillips last year. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And there's the thing about programs. I think when you see guys year after year from the same program as DBs who are willing to be physical.
It's Mark Stoops, baby. This is what he's about.
It's something that you don't need your corners to be the greatest tackler of all time, but when you see it and you see it get exposed, like Sauce Gardner is like an incredible cover corner. He can't tackle, and teams started to attack him. And when you have that lack, and also physicality matters. So I'm 100%. With you. I think Hairston is a really impressive corner. He stood out to me a lot. I'm with him on how he fits.
My concern is in press man to man, he just wants to play zone. And that's going to give guys, especially on slants, like just easy wins. So that's something that has to be coached out if it can be coached out. And I think that's maybe the main reason, because he is a very particular type of corner. And there's nothing wrong with that. But because he is somebody who you don't really want to mix it up too much with, like you might be playing some cover six because of him. If he's a starting outside corner for you, you want to keep him in zone looks while the other side plays man. That is what holds him back, because there's a lot of things on tape where you can see him somewhere between 25 and 40 going, and that's effectively, not technically, but effectively a first-round pick. You talked about the physicality, though, which brings me to almost the exact opposite of Maxwell Harrison, who is Mac McWilliams. First off, let's just be honest. What a name, Mac McWilliams.
I honestly, I had to reread it a couple different times because I was like, are they serious with that?
And it's magnificent. It's fantastic. And this guy's fantastic. This guy's a press man corner. This is somebody who is out there looking to punch you in the jaw on every single snap. He plays, and I wrote this down a couple of times while watching him, pop. His game has pop. And there's another guy on this list that we'll talk about that has a lot of pop. And that's something that really stands out to me. I think both you and I are viewing this cycle. Every year you get a little wiser, hopefully. You know, you learn a little bit more. You you get a better feel, right? No scout, no analyst, no coach, nothing, no player certainly is static. You're always trying to get better. You're always trying to learn lessons from around the league and from, you know, internal review. I think both you and I, correct me if I'm wrong here, Jake, are of the mindset that we're looking for football players maybe more than we're looking for athleticism. And I think in the past, particularly with later round picks, and to be clear, Mac McWilliams is a day two kind of guy for me. But in later round picks, I think a lot of times we maybe overvalued the possibilities that athleticism provided and downgraded. I'll speak for myself on this one. Downgraded the football acumen, that IQ, and just the general toughness required to play. It is a jarring difference, the level of physicality between college and the NFL. In the NFL, everyone is out there trying to kill you. There's no reason to mince about it. I know that we're all trying to pretend that football is not a violent sport anymore, and maybe it isn't as violent as it once was, but my God, it's still well above any other sport out there when it comes to violence. And Mac McWilliams plays with a violence. And in a modern game where we have seen in the past 2 years, I think the Trent McDuffie model of corner really come back into vogue. And that's not the Legion of Boom. We're going to, you know, do pass interference the whole time. That's a zone one. A press man to man, punch you in the mouth corner who might not have that great vertical speed, might not have all of these testing traits, but will just mess your blank up. I think there's a lot of value in that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of teams are going to like Mac McWilliams in the slot. For the Niners looking at a guy on the outside, you could do a whole lot worse than a guy like Mac McWilliams, because I do think he has the athleticism to open up the hips. I think he plays with a very high IQ, but this is a press man-to-man corner who is just going to be hell to go against day in, day out.
Yeah, I think to the point of athleticism versus, like, it's like the Juwan Jennings thing. Like, Juwan Jennings is a pretty terrible athlete, but he's just a gamer. And I think, sort of to your point, it's like you need to have something confident to latch onto. Like, if a guy's a freak athlete and it doesn't show up, like, I would take a bite late, right?
Yes.
But I think where people make that mistake is the rounds, you know, 2 through 4, where you're saying, all right, where he's this crazy round one athlete. It's like, well, he's available in this round because there's some glaring flaws. To me, I feel like you need, in those sort of 2nd through 4th rounds, you need sort of a base level of athleticism for most positions. Some are exclusions, like some defensive tackles. Like, if you've got one trait to latch onto, that's okay. Again, it's position by position. But you do, at every single position, and increasingly at corner, I think you do need a level of physicality in order to, you know, you're going to be asked to do a lot as a corner, especially the 49ers are going to test you as a rookie. They're not going to just make you the starting outside corner. They're going to ask you to play nickel and special teams, and you're going to have to prove yourself in other ways. So you do need a level of physicality that, especially at corner, like, even if you're just like this great, like, long athletic corner, you need to have a little bit of bite to your game. And safety's like that too. Like, you can't just be this
unquestionably
fluid. You got to want to absolutely murder somebody.
And in fact, I would argue even more so at safety. And we'll get to Dan Jackson in a little bit, the safety from Georgia. But with Mac McWilliams, you're 100% right. They're going to throw you in the nickel. They're going to do it. But think about the two teams that are playing in the Super Bowl, not to date this video, but the two teams that are playing in the Super Bowl, the Eagles, who maybe not to the same level as their opponent, but those guys on the outside really play with a pop. They have a punch to them. Even Mitchell, who's this very fluid athlete. And then on the flip side, the Chiefs, who are, I think, the bar, right? And the Niners used to be the bar there, where they just had these corners that you couldn't get around. And you want to run to the outside? These guys are going to set an edge for you. You're not having to work around them on your basic defensive scheme. So either of these corners, and corner is such a difficult position to evaluate, particularly when you think about the schemes that they run. It's a lot of quarters, a lot of palms. To see somebody like McWilliams at the Senior Bowl on these one-on-one reps, punching the ball out, getting into it, scrapping. Yeah. He's a lot like Robert Longerbeam, the Rutgers corner that I liked a lot out of the Shrine Bowl, but way more athletic. Still, I don't think the athleticism reaches first round grade. I have a 3rd round grade on him, but no one would be out of their mind to take him in the 2nd. This is going to be a trigger warning now to all 49ers fans. Kyle Williams. I know. So long as he doesn't wear number 10, I think we're good. Kyle Williams, wide receiver, Washington State. This boy's smooth. There's something there that wide receiver, as hit or miss as any position when we talk about these kind of evaluations, right? You just don't know, because they're never put in an environment quite like the NFL with the speed of defenses, with the physicality of defenses. But when you watch this guy, he is so clean and he has so much shake. And I know that it's not going to test well at the combine, but his play speed shows explosion and separation. And I think he's going to run like a 4.6, and everyone's going to be like, yeah, it couldn't be. Except his 4.6 actually translates 100%, whereas some guys 4.2 never makes it onto the field. So
increasingly with the like in jersey data that teams have to actually see how players move
the
on
GPS
the
stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that stuff. And some teams are so outdated that they are I would say some teams use it more than others, because there's just the reality that, like, this is how you play on the field versus run.
And to be fair, the Niners love it. They probably overdo it with the because I don't know if all these GPSs are calibrated the same. If we're being honest.
I'm completely with you. I think there is something to like how a guy gets off the line and just how he fires, like that matters. Yeah. Again, more at certain positions, but like the in-game speed, especially when you're talking about long speed, and if you're talking about a guy you want as a vertical threat, and horizontal speed, like taking one step and cutting, that's like sort of what defines separation, like putting a foot in the ground, planting, and then cutting in a direction, which, you know, some of that doesn't even get measured in GPS and all that stuff, and there's no real drills, that's just eye test, but yeah.
I like to look at acceleration into the break and acceleration out of the break. There's a lot of guys who will do a lot of this. And
there's been way too much of that this year.
I mean, just, I don't know what they're churning butter in two different hands. And like, listen, you need to find a way.
They're double shake weighting out there.
That's exactly right. They're playing some sort of large drum. And double shake weight, but you have that. And I feel for the guys who are in that position, because again, you're trying your damnedest to just create some separation so that you can catch a ball and look good so that you can make millions of dollars in the NFL. You got to do whatever. And if that means you double shake weight it for 10 seconds, so be it. That's the best you got. I like the guys who can operate deftly, guys who, it doesn't look like they're stopping halfway through their route to do some conga line drumming and then start again because you don't know which way they're going. I like guys to run routes, Jake.
That used to drive my mom crazy when people would on punt returns when they just like stop and they shake and they literally just wait. And there's like an art. There's an art to that. But my mom's like, go forward.
Correct.
And it would drive her insane.
A lot of times, I mean, my wife doesn't care or know about football. And a lot of times she's watching, like, why did they do that? And the answer is they shouldn't have. You're right. That's stupid. Yeah. They should not do that anymore. She's like, there was 5 yards right there. Why did he stop thinking that the corner was going to go past him? He walked behind the line. Just get to the line. Go across the line of scrimmage. That happened a lot in the Senior Bowl, by the way, where guys would catch it. And then the first down is right there. And there, again, it's a job interview. I get it. I understand the inherent desperation of the moment. You want to make a big play. You want to look like a superstar. But it turned into G League basketball there really fast.
Just do the Tyler Lockett where you dead fish forward 2 yards. You get exactly the yardage you need and save yourself.
the Tyler Lockett's an incredible call. So I think Kyle Williams, there's a lot of buzz around his name right now. Let's be clear about that. I'm not unique in liking Kyle Williams. And he's not somebody who's going to test well or at an exceptional level, not to my guess. And he's not certainly anyone of serious stature. But as a depth wide receiver, I think that you could do a whole lot worse. And as a day three pick at the position, I think he has serious upside because he just looks polished. And that polish might show up at OTAs and you go, nope, wrong. Didn't get that one. But he could also show up at OTAs and you're like, oh, damn, it's Puka Nacua. Like, not Kyle Williams, to be fair, but actually there is a Puka Nacua comparison I'm going to make a little bit later on, but that's why it was front of mind here. Let's talk about Carson Vinson, Alabama A&M. This man was put on this earth to play offensive line. He is a lean, mean 6'6", 340, okay? He carries every ounce of it. He looks great for 340. I wish I looked as good as Carson Vinson when I was at 340. So Alabama A&M, obviously going to have some concerns there. Watched his game against Auburn. There were some issues, okay? I'm not pretending as if Carson Vinson is going to come in and be the next Jason Peters, right? And just in the league forever and always quality. But as an athlete, his size and his ability to move at that size, this guy should have played basketball. He was just too fat. I don't know if that's his backstory or not, but he wasn't built for basketball on the upper body, but his lower body was built for basketball. He has great feet, and he went one-on-one against Shamar Stewart, and he won. He straight up won. Now, I can get into Shamar Stewart just bull rushing everybody, but Shamar Stewart bull rushing you, not an easy thing to stop. He's 280 pounds, and he's really good at it.
Yeah, he's literally got one thing, but that one thing is pretty damn good.
He has one cool trick that the internet hates, and he's at the bottom of all of the web articles you read. He beat him, and he beat him clean. It wasn't even close because his footwork was on time. He played with good pad level on the play, and he really packs a wallop on his punch. This is probably, I think it's wrong to call him a project. I think he's a lot closer to a finished product than he'll ever get credit for because, again, Alabama A&M right. and you...
Small school, you're a project, right?
But he is not physically a project. And honestly, I think given what I saw, if he had stayed in school for another year, which I don't think he was allowed to, he would have been at a major program. I think someone would have poached him. Maybe Alabama A&M is just under the radar enough, but with the transfer portal the way it is, like someone would have heard about him. And I really like him. I don't know where he goes because going into this, you're talking undrafted free agent, seventh round pick. It might be more like fourth or fifth now. And also with offensive linemen, day three, pick any round.
Right.
It's kind of when a run starts on him. But Carson Vinson has the fluidity, the size, and the punch that he is absolutely, it's not even a flyer. He's an NFL offensive lineman. The question is, how good can he be? And I think his ceiling is as high as anybody's in this class, legitimately, because you just can't make a player like him through coaching. There is some inherent level of athleticism and length and all this that you cannot teach. And I don't think he needs that much teaching. I think he's a lot closer to a finished product that he'll get credit for. And I think that any time on day three would be an appropriate time to pick him. Dan Jackson, yeah. Safety, Georgia.
He just knows how to play ball. And he doesn't really care about his own well-being.
Correct. Former walk-on, was a starting safety at Georgia. Let's put the cat out of the bag. White boy. Was it Dan Smith, quarterback BYU at the end of the East-West All-Star game of Key and Peele? This guy also applies. Right. He could have shown up at the end of that. A.A. Ron Rogers, Cal. But you want to talk about a guy who packs a wallop. You want to talk about a guy who plays with some pop. It is not coincidence that he was on the field a ton in the Senior Bowl game. It's not a coincidence. The coaches put the guys that they want to see the most out there, right? It is a true meritocracy.
Dude, I'm trying to watch Malachi Starks, and I'm like, who is this other guy?
Yeah, and he is not Malachi Starks. Yeah. Let's be clear.
Oh, no. But there's a lot to like.
Reed Blankenship is going to be the comp that he gets. White guy. He moves. He's pretty fluid. He's pretty good. But he sees the field great. And he comes in. You don't think that John Lynch is going to love Dan Jackson? I mean, he might be John Lynch incarnate. Now, to be fair, I'm not sure John Lynch could play in the modern NFL. Now, maybe he was such a gamer. He's a Hall of Famer. No one's taken anything away, but the game has changed a little bit. I don't know.
Would have gotten ejected many, many times.
That's the way that he says he couldn't play in the NFL because he would have been thrown out of the league for all the dirty hits.
No, he actually would have been suspended an innumerable amount of times.
I don't want to go back and totally litigate the John Lynch safety experience, but
yeah.
There is a requisite level of athleticism that I don't think he'll get credit for because, again, white guy. That is absolutely there. There's no limitations on that front. He's not an elite level athlete. This is not a class where you're getting but one guy, right? Xavier Watts, wonderful, wonderful safety. A lot of the same qualities as Dan Jackson, right? Your concern about Xavier Watts is, oh, well, he doesn't have that high-end athleticism. Then you talk about the Iowa guy. You talk about South Carolina, Emmanuel. Like, those are all athleticism. And it doesn't translate on the field. Your guy, Sebastian Castro, right? Linebacker, punch, yeah. But like, does he have the ability to open up those hips, carry someone to the third level, all these things? I think you think he does. I think
he does. I almost put him on this list again, but I wanted to mix it up. So
there's all of that. I think Dan Jackson has it. Every time you watch him play, he makes an impact on the game. He's never late on anything. And if you're carrying the ball and you get into the third level, you're going to die. He's coming for you. Kirby Smart does not play guys who cannot play.
Yep.
This guy can play just because his pedigree and just because, you know, some inherent racism is in play when it comes to him doesn't mean that he can't play. He can absolutely play. And the fact is that I think a lot of people will overlook him because he doesn't look the part that we've seen so often at that position. And I don't think he's going to be some game changer, next Ed Reed, anything like that. I don't think he'll ever make a Pro Bowl. But this is a guy who can play as a full cover two corner. You can put him back there as part of a two. You can put him in the box. You can put him as a single high if you're in a press. There's a lot of Malik Mustafa in Dan Jackson's game. And maybe not with that same level of explosion.
Right.
But recognition, straight line, pow. Worst, I say this with a lot of guys. This is something that I hold pretty dear. Worst case scenario, my God, do you have a good special team player?
No question about it. I'm with you. I love your list. I'm excited to watch some Carson Vinson tape. Yeah. Get more into McWilliams and. But I really like Hairston. I really like Jackson. I think both of those guys are going to be solid NFL players at the minimum.
Yeah. And so we got two day two picks in Harrison and McWilliams. And then I think three really high upside day three picks in Kyle Williams, Carson Vinson, and Dan Jackson. But let's go to your list here, Jake. Oh, sorry. I had it and then I got rid of it. My bad.
We both did it. So my guys, we're going to go to North Dakota State to start. I know that's scarring for some folks.
We're doing a lot of trigger warnings here.
I know, but Gray Zabel, he was a guy who played pretty exclusively at tackle.
Yeah.
He started off at North Dakota State. He played left guard and right tackles first year, left guard, right tackle, and then moved exclusively to left tackle his senior year. And man, he can do it all. He played a lot. And the thing about him is, like, again, played all tackle pretty much last year. They played him pretty much at guard. I saw a lot of him at guard in the Senior Bowl. And this dude can anchor.
Yes.
No question about it. Against a variety of different people, I think he's got the ability. He's got quick hands and the ability to reset his hands against a variety of different pass rush moves. And he's got the anchor. Again, I talked about Carter Brailsford, who's not even in this draft, but like his ability to reset his anchor. Gray Zabel has that to take on a variety of moves and reset and set himself in the ground. And he can move in space. I think he has the requisite strength. I know, small school guy, he can play.
It's not that small of a school. Let's be clear about that.
I know. It's basically
too small for Trey Lance, not so small for other guys. The conversation around Gray Zabel right now is that he would be the number one center in this class. It's not a good center class, or at least it's not a top-heavy center class. We don't have a Graham Barton in this one. Last year was a great center class, by the way. Proven out. We said it, proven out. Tanner Bordellini getting that new starting job for the Colts. That's one of Hutch's guys from last year. I liked Zabel a lot at tackle. That looked totally normal to me. Yeah. That looked like a great spot for him.
Yeah.
It's nice to have versatility, but where do you think he would be better?
I honestly don't know. Like, that's the thing, is they played him at guard. People are talking about him at center. I think that happens when you have a guy where you're like, well, again, it's a weak center class, so he could play center. It's like, well, if he can play tackle, he's a tackle. I think he is. It's looking like he's an end of the first round talent. Maybe he is not going to get past the second round. I think the way right now.
No, he's a top 40 pick, no question.
But I'm not sure where he's the best fit. I think part of that will depend on scheme and need, and teams will just say, all right, well, this is a guy who can probably play anywhere on the offensive line, and wherever we need him most, we're just going to take him. So Gray Zabel really can kind of play anywhere. I think he's got enough athleticism. Number two, Trevor Etienne. This is a guy we mentioned briefly.
We love Trevor Etienne. Can't get enough of him.
Dude, so I know he didn't have like a crazy elite production once he transferred to Georgia. Some of that is scheme and Georgia injury. He's small, but I honestly, I see a little bit of McCaffrey in him, mm-hmm. in terms of an undersized guy. And his number one trait to me is cutting ability while maintaining speed. There's a shiftiness there that reminds me a lot of McCaffrey. I think he can be a really impressive pass receiving wide receiver.
Yeah.
And
his,
I think
his hands need a little work, but he's a very good route runner. And I think that it might just have been a bad year for him in that regard.
Yeah. But he can scoot. He played so well against Texas, and he does the thing where guys feel like they have the angle on him. And again, he's quicker than fast, but he's really goddamn quick, and he's pretty fast. So when he gets around the edge, you think you've got him, he shakes a little bit, and he always gets another 5 or 7 yards. He takes contact really well for a guy who's only 5'9".
That's right.
This is a guy who he's in that danger zone, like probably third, fourth. I think that's where people are looking at him.
Someone's going to fall in love with him.
I like him a lot. I just think he's a guy that, like, in terms of if you're looking to replace McCaffrey's skill set, I think teams outside of the 49ers might like him more than the 49ers do. But I just have a hard time seeing him. Again, I don't think he's an every down player because of his size. Right. I think he's more like you rotate him in. Obviously, the Lions perfected that, and he's nowhere near speed-wise what Jahmyr Gibbs is, but he's like a great change of pace. You can play him as the lead back. I don't think, again, every down carrying that is going to be good for him, but I really think he's a really well-rounded player. Pass protection with his size might be a challenge, but I think he's smart. I think he's incredibly shifty, and I just think he's going to succeed at the next level.
Big time football IQ on Trevor Etienne. Not surprising, you know, his brother's in the league, all that, but, Georgia gave him the bag for a reason. I know Florida tried to cope and say, actually, we have a ton of really good running backs, but they were crying inside when he left, particularly to a rival. He's a really good player. There were a lot of injuries last year. It should be noted. He played through a lot of injuries, big games, right? SEC championship game. He was a game time decision. He played in that game. He was outstanding in that game. So you get him at something close to 100% health for training camp. Wouldn't surprise me in the least bit if he exploded. And I think a viable, you know, handcuff fantasy option for whichever team gets him. I think he's going to hit the ground running because it's not as if he's learning the position. He's got that thing down pat.
I'm with you. Next guy, he was a clear standout. A lot of people mentioned him, Darius Alexander. Out of Toledo, basically he feels in terms of flexibility. He's not got the size of Arik Armstead, but sort of like a 5-tech, 3-tech sort of guy, somewhere in that range. Listen, like he's small school guy, a little bit of an inconsistent pad level, but the strength he has when he doesn't have the pad level to drive with power, he's got incredibly strong upper half and some flexibility and some bend at a pretty big size. To be able to get into guys' chest and power and rip, I am really impressed with what he can do in the pass game. I need to see a little bit more, you know, in the run game. But I think this is a guy that I don't know what his range is. He's probably like at best a late day two, probably early day three guy. But he's got some pass rushing upside and some real power.
There's some real buzz about him. I think a lot of you know, what I hear through the grapevine, of course. So take it for whatever it's worth. Is that a lot of NFL teams think, oh, we can coach that out of them. When I watch it, I didn't get that sense. What do I know? But the pad levels of an issue, right? He gets really high. He spends a lot of time. He doesn't have a nose for the football is kind of how I would phrase that. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but he's also not just a gap destroyer. When he wins huge. And there are some guys in this draft, particularly early on, and I won't name names or anything yet. We'll get into our guys that we don't like in a later video. And I don't dislike Darius Alexander at his current price point.
Right.
But there are some guys who, when they win so big that a lot of folks think, oh, this guy's great. And it's not to take away from the upside there, but you have to watch the full games. You have to watch the all 22. You have to have these data points because the highlight tapes make everyone look like they're going in the first round. And I wonder if that's what's going on with Darius Alexander. That's something for me to have to figure out. There's a lot of hype around him right now. Warranted, given his performance at the Senior Bowl, without question. A lot of one-on-one wins. I think he won like 8 out of his 10 reps, something like that.
Yeah.
And so maybe he just needed the stage, needed the opportunity, but there's some there's some warts there that I want to see through. I want to see through. Going to be one of the guys that I'm going to spend a lot of time on in the months to come.
Next one, Oluwafemi Oladeju.
Hey,
Oladeju,
nicely
people
done.
Call him Femi.
That was well done.
He's thank you. He's a guy that technically played linebacker in a 3-4 scheme. He's an edge. I had no idea who he was. I was just randomly watching the one-on-ones. Yeah. And this dude's frame is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to test very well. And you look at him and you're like, that is like a creative player, mm-hmm. just frame. And he's got great length. I think he is pretty raw. I think there is a lot he needs to learn about the art of rushing the passer. But I do think he is a frame where he's going to be able to set the edge. I don't know if that's necessarily like his number one trait. But I do think... frame and strength wise, I do think he can be an edge setter as like a foundation, and I think he is going to take time, but I think he's going to be a guy who's going to figure out how to use his length and his strength. And when it works, like, he's got bend that offensive tackles cannot hang with. He can put an arm into your chest, rip and bend around you in a way that most guys in this class don't have the ability to do. Totally. He's going to pick up a spin move. He's going to pick up more in his bag. Like, he, in terms of raw talent, and this is a guy who's pure day three. Like, there is a lot of upside there.
I'm not sure he's getting to day three. There's so much upside. There's so much upside. I mean, there's some Charles Omenihu in this guy.
Yeah.
With the power, but then you're adding in just crazy bend, just freakish athleticism. If it hits, he's a perennial all pro. Like, I know that that's, you know, the highest possible praise, but like, much like what I was saying with Vincent, like, you cannot teach what he has.
And
it's the perfect frame.
And to me, immediately, I don't care if he knows how to play football or not. Like, and that's being harsh. He's much better than that. But like, he's an immediate upgrade by miles over Robert Beal Jr. Like, not even close. I know that's like very, a very low bar, but like, even being raw and not knowing exactly what he is as a player, I think day one, he's like that.
One thing to note, I mean, don't forget who was the first defensive end taken in last year's draft, Latu out of UCLA. So for all the warts that the Bruins football program has, and my God, do they have a lot of them? They sure do seem to find these kind of guys.
They get athletes, dude.
I think there's something to be said. Again, we're going back to Dan Jackson. Like, you want a good defensive player? The Eagles made an entire cottage industry out of just taking dudes from Georgia. Seems to be working out pretty well.
I'm with you.
Physical corners from Kentucky that can play zone. Like, that's what they do. That's what Mark Stoops does. UCLA, I don't know if this is a great thing to be known for, but they have crazy athletic raw pass rushers. That's what they have. And this guy has some serious ceiling.
Yeah. Last guy on my list. And you're the one who shouted me out to Jalen Knoll. This is a guy. So Iowa State had two wide receivers who both did great at the Senior Bowl. One of them is a bit longer, more of a contested catch threat. Knoll is 5'10". But he is pretty strong, pretty built up for a guy his size.
It was stunning to me that he came out at 5'10". I thought for sure he was 6 foot, 6 foot one, a little bit stumpier. He's 5'10", 200.
Yeah, I would say number one, and this can be, you know, taken with as a, like a little bit of a criticism, as this being the verb or the adjective, crafty. But like, he understands the craft of being a wide receiver. He gets in and out of his breaks. He snaps off with like a level of polish that I think is hard to find. Ricky Pearsall had great that example last year. Yeah. That's what we saw right away. I mean, he might have had that more than any other wide receiver in that draft. I don't think Knoll is at that level. I don't think he has that athleticism at all.
No.
That's my main concern. But in terms of like, if you want like a fourth, fifth wide receiver on your roster who's going to be able to play in the slot probably and to be able to run routes and snap off and just do exactly what you ask,
yeah,
he's a guy. I really liked what I watched the more I watched of him. And that was on you. Props to you for grabbing him.
He has some Puka Nacua in him. Not a lot. And again, Puka Nacua does a lot of things in the run game and, you know, in blocking. He uses that big frame of his. It was surprising to me to see Noel not be that big because he has some stoutness. And I think that he could be a viable guy. Bo Melton is one of my favorite players in the league. Green Bay wide receiver, just an unbelievable blocker.
Right. Big
time. At a wide receiver. I think Noel has some of that in him, but the craftiness, right? It doesn't have any of this crazy athleticism. That's fine because he finds a way to get open. And yeah, all Noel did at the Senior Bowl was get open against a really good
contested
cornerback.
Catch receiver for some, like, I just think he's got a lot of, like, this guy knows how to play football. He's committed. He's going to be committed on every single play.
Yeah.
And it's just hard to imagine that he won't be semi-productive and useful in some way as a rookie.
That's where I'm at. I think he's absolutely worth a flyer, and maybe the buzz gets a little bit too high and now you're putting a premium on him, and that's a different conversation for a different day. Right. We'll know as we get closer to the draft and we have these boards out, but Jalen Noel is somebody to keep an eye on because there's something there, and whenever we feel like there's something there, there's usually something there. It's not to toot our own horn. It's just to say we might not be able to explain it every time, but you and I both really like this guy. We can't quit him. We can't figure out exactly what's going on. We can't get rid of him. Somebody else who makes the decision is going to make the same determination on them, I'm sure.
I'm with you. So those are our Senior Bowl guys. Magnificent lists. There's other guys that we didn't mention. There's plenty of guys with intrigue, but those are our dudes. And we're going to keep it rolling here during draft season. Dieter might have to take a pause for a second, but we'll see.
We'll find out. We'll find out on that. But big boards are coming.
Mock drafts.
Oh boy, are the mock drafts coming, my friend. And then I think more than anything else, I think maybe some like betting props. And I feel like there's something to be made. We're putting in all this work. We might as well make some money off of it. Besides, of course, folks subscribing and ringing that bell. That's another way we can make some money off of it. We're not doing this for free. I mean, we are, but we aren't. And you can subscribe and you can be an official sicko. And you should do that because
You get these a day earlier.
That's right.
For the most part. And once the draft guide comes out, there will be some stuff there. We'll let you know when that's coming. But that's it. That's it for the Senior Bowl, folks. And stick with us. Subscribe, like, comment, whatever. Hate us. All good. Appreciate you.
Have a
next
good one.
Time.